North Rock Podcast.
So we've been learning 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 has been kind of our key verse. And we've talked about it because it's instruction to his church. And he says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And we're learning how to be thankful in seasons of bounty and in seasons of lack, in seasons of storms, which we've talked about, and in seasons where things are just going just fine. So today I'd like to talk to you about what we do while we're waiting on our miracle. Anybody in this room waiting on a miracle? That's right. It's the way it works, right? God delivers us out of storms. He gives us there's a circumstance that's introduced into our life, right? We pray up a prayer, and then there's that time period, kind of like that beep waiting period between the promise and the delivery of his promise in our life. You guys know what I'm talking about? Some people call it life. You know, and the longer that I'm alive, the more I come to recognize that is a lot of what God wants to do in discipleship in my heart, is teach me to wait on him. It's to teach me to walk in step with him. It's to trust him when things don't look all that bright, right? That's really what this whole walk of transformation in Christ is all about. And I don't know about the rest of you, but when it comes to waiting on things, I'm not very good at it. Just going to be honest with you. Okay, so a common experience in the Carroll household is that right before I get off of work or on my drive home from work, my lovely wife, who happens to be sitting in the front row today with our kiddos, will give me a call and say, hey, I'm making dinner, I need this, right? Anybody ever get that call? Yeah, exactly, right? Patience, right? Patience. Patience, patience, patience. So I'm one of those guys that says, if I'm going to the grocery store, baby, let me bless you and get everything you need. What all do you need? I just need butter. What do you mean just butter? I got to go all the way to the grocery store. I got to pull in. I got to fight the crowds to get butter to get home to make dinner, which I'm very thankful for, baby. I appreciate you making dinner. I appreciate you making dinner. Patience, right? So it's not just me learning patience. She's learning patience through me as well. But let me just tell you how this goes down in my world. Okay, so now I'm feeling like I gotta get moving, right? I gotta get home faster now because I gotta stop by the store. And so I get in the car and I start driving and I'm in the road and there's all kinds of, you guys notice that in the roads there's lots of people? They're like in your way and you're trying to get someplace. And so, you know, I'll come to an intersection and there'll be three cars in one, two cars in one, and then I'll notice out of my peripheral vision that there's an open lane over to the left. And so I'll make my courteous turn signal and check my mirrors, and I'll get into that front lane, that front spot. Now, it would be enough for most people, right? Well, for me, now it's just a race. Now I'm at the front line. I got to make sure I get back in front of all of these people so that I can get over the store and get into the parking lot so I can pick up the items that my wife asked me to pick up for dinner tonight, right? So I do that. I rip through. I get into the parking lot, and it's almost like there's a sixth sense that begins to develop in me, like a mental telepathy where I start to think about, who's getting ready to back up? Where's that perfect spot that I can get in there and get in and get out as fast as I can possibly get there, right? And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I get in and I got a hurried pace and I'm walking into the store. And it's almost as the moment that I step foot in the store, I'm scanning the place, right? I'm scanning, I'm trying to figure out which one of these tellers are on their game tonight. I mean, which one of these checkers really are checking people out and which ones are just talking? You guys ever met those tellers? Yeah. They tell you their whole life story, and you're just going, ma'am, I'm really glad that your life is good, but all I wanted was butter. I just have that gift. People tell me their life stories everywhere I go. So I'm trying to scan that, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, if I need butter and I need milk and I need one other item, what's the fastest route to get around that? And you always try to avoid the lanes that have people in them so you don't have to jump over kids and hurdle them and that kind of stuff, right? And then I get my items, and I rush up to the counter, and I'm looking at it, and I'm going, okay, there's three in here and two in there. I love Target. Don't you love Target? It has 72 lanes and only two checkers working all the time. I don't know what it is about it, but you see a line, you see another line, and then you say, okay, I am going to go straight to the self-checkout, right, the express lane of the grocery store, right? And so I go there, and I've got a line there while I'm waiting. And what do we inevitably start doing when we get into that line. 12 items or less, right? What do we start doing? Oh, you guys are sick. No, I would never count the items of the people in front of me. That's just a whole nother level of impatience right there. Who would do such a thing, right? I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. And in fact, I'm so bad about it, I'm so impatient sometimes that I want to like call the police when I see him with 13 and a 12. It's like, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't know if you flunked first grade math or if this is just you trying to get away with something, but you clearly have 13 items in your basket. And they have three lanes over there with lots of people standing and waiting for you over there, right? But this is the express lane. This is the express lane. How many of you guys would say I could use a little more patience in my life? And if in just the day-to-day affairs of life, how much more do we need to learn patience while we're waiting on our miracles? See, if we're going to have an attitude of gratitude, if we're going to exhibit thankfulness as a lifestyle, as a discipleship profile, then we've got to learn to be patient while we wait on our miracles. We've got to learn to be patient while we wait on our miracles. And today I would like to suggest that the scriptures indicate that for those that say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, that I am a follower of Christ, that patience is a lot more than just an attitude. It's a lot more than just a virtue. It's a lot more than just a way of being, right? Just be patient. Amen. That's the message, right? No, I would like to suggest that the scriptures say that it's a byproduct of a relationship with Jesus Christ. That patience, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that is part of our inheritance, is part of what we can call upon and live out in our lives. Amen? We believe that today, right, church? That if we believe for the miracle, that we can believe for God to give us the attitude of gratitude and the patience and the peace in the midst of hurried and hectic lives, while we wait on God's provision for our miracle. How many of you guys have ever experienced a miracle in your life? Yeah. I like to raise our hands because sometimes we can convince ourselves while sitting in a room like this that, I don't know what he's talking about. But there's a whole lot of people in here that have had an experience with Jesus that we can only attribute to him doing a work in our lives, right? And I can tell you, if you haven't yet, that if you'll continue to pursue the relationship with the miracle-making God, with the living God in Jesus Christ, you will find yourself in the midst of not just a miracle, but a lifestyle of miracles that God does. And in fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today, are two people from Mark chapter 5 that exhibited what I call a posture and the proximity to receive their miracle from the Lord. And before we do that, I wanted to just talk to you about, just for a few minutes, this suggestion that peace and patience is a byproduct. It's actually a promised fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? That's something that we can call upon. It's something that we can release. But it's something that can be developed in our lives, right? So if you have your Bibles with you, if you don't, we got a great big one we're going to put up right here. But I always like to encourage people, whether you carry your Bible here or on here or in one of those archaic, you know, leather-bound, you know, Di's got one for the ages, man. That thing is like 75 pounds. See her carrying it in, just dragging it. She's got the big Bible, right? We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, okay? And before we jump into the Word, I just want to pray and kind of seal our time. Father God, we thank you that we don't have to make it through life as hurried and hectic people. But Lord, you promise us a peace that is greater than the circumstances of our lives, a peace that carries us in confident expectation that you are working on our miracle even when we can't see that miracle occurring yet. So Father, I pray for all of us knowing that we need miracles in our lives. We need to be naturally supernatural people, that we are engaging your power on a day-to-day basis. Pray, Father, we would see your provision, that we would live for your purposes, Lord, and that we would take your word to heart today. Lord, help us not to just hear a message, but Lord, we pray for transformation of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 gives us this promise. It says, let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. And then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. And you will overflow with thankfulness. Continues in Colossians chapter 3, says, and let peace, everybody say peace, that comes from Christ, rule in your hearts. Again, there's that promise, not just patience, but peace. Peace that comes from who? Comes from Christ. Let it rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Irregardless of our circumstances, irregardless of the challenges that we're facing, that we are called to live in peace, right? For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be what? Thankful. Always be thankful. Let this message about Christ and all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Kind of sounds like what we do here at church, right? A little bit of singing, a little bit of thankfulness, a little bit of praise, right? And I can tell you this, we've been in this series the last 3 weeks. I have been blown away by your guys' engagement with the hashtag, you know, North Rock Thankful campaign we've been doing. We have heard well over 500 different things from our congregation that have said, this is what I'm thankful, most thankful for from God. Some of them are little, some of them are big, but I can tell you that the miraculous is happening in our midst. I can promise you that. In fact, I've got a video of a couple of them that we're going to be able to tell that story, because I feel kind of selfish as the pastor sometimes, that I get to hear all these stories about how God's active in your lives, and I don't get a chance to share that with you. And so my good friend, Sean Schopp, helped us put together a video that we wanted to just show you some of the things that are going on here at North Rock. We're going to show in just a minute. But first, I wanted to introduce you to my friend, Parker Sanchez. Parker, can you stand up and just wave to everybody? Yeah. Parker and his mom, Marcy, and Bert are all in here with us. You guys remember Parker, right? You guys remember we've been praying for him. A whole lot of people around the country have been praying for him. And he's out of the hospital. He's here in our front row. And Parker, we are so glad to have you today. So glad. So really, I mean, if I were honest, he's my daughter's friend. He's Cameron's friend, not mine, but I consider him my friend because of that. And Parker and Marcy were kind enough to come and kind of share a little bit of their story, a little bit of what they were thankful for in this season, and a little bit about how God's miraculous touch in their life has been impacting them. So we're going to show you that video, and then we're going to jump in and talk about the posture and proximity that we can continue to practice that helps deliver the miracles in our lives. Let's go ahead and watch that.
Hey, North Rock, this is Pastor Chad, just sitting here with my friend, Parker Sanchez. Parker is the young man that we've been praying for, that we've been wearing the bracelet Parker Strong and talking to over the last couple of months. And Parker has one of the best attitudes of anybody that I've ever met. And so as we're kind of conducting this hashtag thankful, how to develop an attitude of gratitude campaign at our church, I thought it would be a great idea to bring Parker in and give you guys an update on his healing process, as well as hear from him on how he keeps such a upbeat, positive attitude all the time. Would you just share with us a little bit about what's been going on in your life the last several months?
Mm-hmm. So, I'm Parker. I've been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and the way I keep positive is I know that God has me in his hands, and that's pretty much it. But I've had some seizures the last month, last 2 months actually, and he's actually helped me heal from those.
So Parker, can you just tell me, what are you most thankful for in your life right now?
Letting God get rid of the cancer.
Okay, that's awesome.
So 2 months ago when Parker had his seizures and his stroke, caused from the clot. His clot was 3/4 of the size on his brain. The bleeding was in a significant amount on his left side. He had no movement on the right side. He could verbalize some things, but not very much. A lot of confusion. The doctors didn't think, you know, that he would be able to move his right side, like I said, for at least a year. And last week we had an MRI, which showed the clot was gone from his brain. You could see barely just a little bit of the scarring, which is normal. And the only thing he had was a small clot, this 1 1/4 centimeters in his jugular, and they were amazed. They said that was a significant improvement, and honestly, for about 10 seconds, they were speechless. They didn't know how to respond.
I do have a gift for you, Marcy. Would you be willing to reach just over the edge there and hand me an actual, not a replica, an actual jersey from North Bend High School with all of our football players' signatures on it for the year, because they know that you love football, and they just want to let you know that they're all praying for you too as well, okay? So that's yours, my man.
My name is Maria Medrano. I've been coming to North Rock for about 5 years now. I've been baptized for about 3 years now. August 4th, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I refused to believe it. I was in shock for 2 weeks. I didn't eat, I didn't sleep. I lost 20 pounds in 2 weeks. I just refused to even look at life. People would come over and pray with me, and I didn't want any part of it. I was angry. I was very angry with God. I wanted to know why. And God told me, give it to me. I want it. You know, I don't want you to go through this alone. And I just felt just a sigh of relief come off my chest, like 100 pounds lifted off my chest, and I did. From that day on, I went to the doctor. The doctor told me, it's small. Let's do it. Let's get rid of it. Let's be done with it. And I asked him, am I going to die? And he told me, he says, with the grin on his face, he says, eventually, but not from this. And that was the best news there. And then later on, I kept going to the doctor, I found out later on why I had surgery. August 19th, I had surgery. They removed it all. I found out a week later that everything was gone. October 1st, I found out I did not need chemotherapy, that it wasn't bad enough. I needed the radiation. As of today, on Wednesday, I went to the doctor. They gave me a clean bill of health. I'm done with the radiation. I'm totally cancer-free.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. That's good.
How many of us are thankful for miracles in our lives? Yeah, we're thankful. But how many of you guys know we don't live on Miracle Mountain all the time? Right? That most of the time we're pursuing the promises. We're coming into the answer to our prayers, right? And that's what we're talking about today. Romans chapter 5 describes what I kind of call the principle of posture and proximity that we're going to talk about today. It says, Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore, since you have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. And because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. That's a good one. That Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we are confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. Verse 3 continues, says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. Again, there's that promise, right? It's not always going to go our way. It's not always going to go in the pace that we want it to go. But he says, for we know that they help us develop endurance. They help us develop endurance. There's, again, kind of the precipice of what we're talking about today, is that God's plan for our lives is to learn to trust him in the midst of our lives, right? That's really what faith is. That's really what discipleship's all about, is learning to go at his pace, not ahead of him, not behind him, right? And it continues to say, and this hope, that endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confidence in the hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us his Holy Spirit in our hearts with his love. What I see in that scripture is, again, that God doesn't just want to deliver the promise of the miracle, but he wants to deliver his presence in the middle of our miracle. That really, when we go looking to him for a reward, what he's looking for from us is relationship. That's what Jesus does. And when we abide in that, when we do what Colossians told us just a few minutes ago to do, let your lives grow deep down into him. Build your lives on Christ. Really cultivate that relationship to where that is truly the most intimate relationship we have in our life. Not just an idea about God, but Jesus, my Savior, my healer, the one that I love. That's when we see that peace rise up out of us. That's when we can walk through difficulties and challenges and storms of our life and be able to have the confident hope and endurance and character to survive those storms. Amen? That's what we're talking about today. And there's a couple of people in the scriptures in Mark chapter 5 that I thought do a really good job of understanding both that posture that we just talked about, right? That we are secure in Him, that it's Him who secures that relationship, that it's His Holy Spirit that gives us thankfulness, that gives us peace, right? That we know how to approach Him out of that posture, but not as an overbearing person. You guys know that balance? That we have to have confidence to say, I am your son, I am your daughter in Christ, and Lord, this is what I'm praying for. And we should be able to confidently go before His throne room and say, Jesus, I need You to move. I need this. But then at the same time, we trust Him in the pace. We trust Him in the season. We trust Him in what He wants to do in us and through us on the timing and the delivery of when those miracles come to pass in our lives, right? That really is the balance that we're talking about today. But we don't get more patient by just saying, Lord, give me patience. Right? That's a scary prayer to pray, I'll tell you that. Tell you what, you guys probably don't want to hear me preach about patience even because you know that there's going to be something you need to be patient about. And as a pastor, you always get tested even more when you preach on these subjects. So I know I don't want to talk to you about it any more than you want to hear it from me. But I can tell you this, that peace in God is more than an emotion. It's more than a perspective. It's the living God helping us through this world, helping us walk in the power and the presence of who He is. So six things that we can do while we wait on our miracle. One, we can pay attention to our posture. That we really are going before the Lord as reverent followers of the living God. That we can say, God, we have confidence in our relationship with You, but Lord, we know that You're sovereign. And we trust You in this storm. We trust You in the middle of whatever You're going to do in our lives. Second thing that we can do is we can work on proximity, right? He says that His word, His blood covers us and allows us to have access to an intimate relationship with God. And how many of you guys know this world has a way of causing drift? And we can just get our perspective. We can get our eyes on other things. We can get our time, absorbed in some other things. We can get pulled this way and that way by all kinds of demands that this world, places on us. But if we'll pay attention to proximity and posture, God always shows up just in time. And you guys know that just in time for God doesn't always feel like just in time to us, right? Am I preaching truth today? Yeah, it always feels like He's a day late or an hour late or a month late, right? But I can tell you, when you're waiting on your miracle, there's no other time that you need His peace like you need it then, right? Not all of us are in a situation or season where we need a miracle, but when we're in that season, if we'll pay attention to posture, we'll pay attention to proximity, His powerful presence will show up and guide us through. So Mark chapter 5, verse 21, we're going to get to that right now. There's two different people in this message. There's some thoughts that Dr. Chan shared when I was at the Equip and Inspire conference that I thought would really dovetail with the series that we're in. And it's six things to do while we wait on our miracle, okay? And the two characters that I feel like really embodied living in a posture and in a proximity with Jesus, that they received their miracle, it was Jairus, right? You guys remember that story? Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, leader of the synagogue, comes to Jesus as Jesus is getting off the boat from the very last miracle that He just did, and He's just getting off, and this crowd begins to develop, which is what happens when Jesus shows up, right? So is it crowds start to form, crowds start to gather. And everybody's kind of looking at Him, and some of them are looky-loos, some of them are there probably to taunt Him, but some of them are there looking for their miracle. Jairus was one of those. The other person in the crowd was a woman with the issue of blood, a woman that had been bleeding for 12 straight years, that was isolated, that was alone, that was by herself, that couldn't be a part of the community because of the uncleanness of her condition. But they hear that Jesus is showing up, and so they run to meet Him. And in verse 21, we kind of pick up right there. says that Jesus got in the boat again, went across to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then the leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. How many of you guys know that's a posture? It's a posture right there, right? He fell at his feet. He says, "My little daughter is dying." He said, "Please come lay your hands on her so she can heal her so she can live." And Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything that she had to pay them. But she had only gotten worse, not any better. In fact, it says that she had gotten worse. Okay? It says, but so she heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Can you guys get some of the imagery of this? That here's a woman that's been isolated, not just that day, not just for a season, but for 12 years of her life. And she comes, and she goes to the ridicule of people knowing her as the one that wasn't supposed to be there, the one that was shunned, the one that was isolated. And she presses through the crowd, and she presses through the crowd, and she presses through the crowd just close enough so she could reach and touch the hem of Jesus. And it says that she, because she did this, because she thought for herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Again, posture, right? Posture and proximity coming together for a miraculous moment in her life. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. And Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around the crowd, and he asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciple said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" Right? But he says that he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell on her knees in front and told him all that she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." There's that word again, right? Go in peace. How many of you guys know that peace for her is different than just regular peace? She could go in peace. She could once again be a part of the community that she was a part of. "Go in peace. Your suffering is over." So while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, and they told him, "Your daughter's dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." Now let's just pause there for a minute and kind of let this settle in. Here we are in the midst of a miracle for this woman. You can tell the crowd, they're just all excited, but let's stop and think about Jairus right now. That he has Jesus. "Hey, I got to him first off the boat. He's coming with me. He's going to go do my miracle." And they start to venture through the crowd, and the crowd keeps getting in the way. And eventually, this woman reaches through the crowd, touches him, and a miracle occurs. And then it says that lady told him everything. Can you imagine Jairus' posture at that time? "Yeah, lady, that's great. I'm awesome. I'm so excited. That's amazing. Oh, praise God for it. Let's go, Jesus." Right? "Hey, can you guys talk about all this maybe next week over coffee? Because Jesus kind of has something that he was going to do with me in the middle of this thing," right? How many of you guys know that part of life is learning to celebrate other people's miracles? It's part of being a part of it. It's part of how we build our faith for our own miracles. It's part of what it means to be a community of Christ. And that's what's going on here, is that Jairus is in this place. His faith is probably overflowing right now, going, "Yes, he healed her. He'll heal my daughter." And then the word comes, "Your daughter's dead. Don't even bother, teacher. There's no reason to bring him." How many of you guys know in that moment Jairus needed Jesus? He needed Jesus, and he needed to understand that all the other options were gone. In the same way for that woman, all the other options were gone. For him, all the other options were gone. While she was sick, he could get doctors. He could get all kinds of things to help. But now that she was dead, there was only one way that she was coming back to life, right? It continues in verse 37, says that Jesus stopped the crowd. I jumped ahead just a little bit here. You imagine Jairus' feeling, saying, "Great for you, lady, but now my daughter is dead." But it says that Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Do not be afraid, just have faith, only believe." And then it says that Jesus stopped the crowd, wouldn't let them go any further, except for Peter, James, and John. And when they came home to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and he asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping?" The child isn't dead, she's only sleeping. And it says that the crowd laughed at him. But he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and the three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kaum, which means, little girl, get up. And the little girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. And Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. A lot of detail in that, right? But here's the six things that kind of stand out to me. Number one is when we're waiting on our miracle, as some of us here have been waiting on our miracle for what feels like an extended period of time, a painful amount of time. It says that, number one, what we want to talk about is that Jesus' words to them is, do not be afraid. Some of us here today just need to hear that. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Second thing that he says to them is, just have faith, or only believe. Only believe that I can do this. Third thing that we learn from this scenario of what we should do while we're waiting on our miracle is to surround ourselves with positive people. We're waiting on a miracle. You don't want people in your life that aren't positive, that don't believe for the very best outcome in your situation. And sometimes that can be the hardest part of suffering through something that we need our miracle for, right? Is the people that we allow in our lives. That's what he says, though, right? Don't be afraid, verse 36. Only believe, verse 36. Surround yourself with positive people. Who did he take with him to do that miracle? Peter, James, and John, right? People that were intimate with him. People that he knew understood how he rolled. People that understood that Jesus could say, I got this. Right? Have you not seen my resume? Do you not realize what I just did on the other side of the lake? Right? Or the sea, right? Do you not realize that I just did a miracle on my way to the miracle, and there's another miracle that's going to be waiting for me after that? That it's when we practice the presence of Jesus, because we're paying attention to our posture and our proximity, that Jesus shows up and does what only Jesus can do. So part of that is we need to surround ourselves with positive people, people that build up our faith, people that pray with us, people that encourage us through the challenge of the miracle that we need. Okay? So this is my favorite part, and I should probably repent for that, but this is number four, and it's my favorite. It says, kick out the negative people. All right, that's what he did. He gets there. There's this somber situation. There's a miracle in the house that needs to happen. And he finds people carrying on and wailing. Bam, 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 bam. Right? That there was professional mourners that were paid to come to the house of somebody that died. And they were weeping and wailing and carrying on and beating these drums. And Jesus shows up and says, whoa, 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 hold up. Hold up. We're not doing this. And the rest of y'all have to leave. Okay? Because I'm about to do something that only these people are going to understand. Okay, and so what does he do? He kicks the negative people out. Can I just encourage you that if you are in a season where you need a miracle, don't allow the negative voices to speak into your life. Don't allow it. Don't allow that person that feels like they need to be the one to tell you that things are bad, or that your condition is one that somebody else had that didn't turn out all that well, right? You guys have met those people. When we're waiting on our miracle, don't allow them to have front row seats to your life. I'm not saying be mean to them. I'm not saying say disparaging things about them, but you need to build a wall of people in your life that you draw life from, that are faithful, that believe in what God's doing in your life. And here's the best part is he spoke life. We need to speak life into our miracles. We need to be the first ones to say, God, you can do this where everything else in my life says you can't do it, right? So he said, little girl, get up. How many of you guys know that we can't simultaneously save face and get on our face in the posture that we need to receive our miracle? Listen, I've grown up in this culture. I know that we want microwave faith. I want to pray it once and I want it to be done. Can I just tell you that that's not how it works? It's not how it works. Sometimes it does, but it's the exception, not the rule. Usually Jesus says, I want you to pursue me. I want you to stay in a posture. I want you to stay in proximity to me. I don't want you to run way out ahead of me. I don't want you to get too far behind me, but I want you to stay in step with me because I'm about to do that miracle. Okay? So again, he speaks life into it. He speaks life into it. And some of us here today, that's what we need to hear today. Is we need to speak life into our miracles. There are dreams, There are situations that we're facing right now that we just need to be encouraged enough to say, speak life into them. Jesus is still on the clock, and he's still doing what he's always done. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's getting ready to show up and do his miraculous work. Amen? And here's the funniest one for me is number six, and it's we need to feed our miracles. Some of us here today need to revive a miracle in our life. There's something that's aching in our life. There's something that we know smells of death. There's something that we don't want to be a part of our life, but we need to speak life into it, and we need to feed that miracle. I just love the humor in the scripture sometimes. Here's this major event. He raises this little girl from the dead, and then the next thing out of his mouth is, hey, make sure you feed her something. And is that naturally supernatural right there or what? Just like, yeah, piece of cake, I'm good. Right? Hey, be sure to feed her. Right? She's going to need something to eat. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we close tonight. Excuse me, today. Saturdays, Sundays, just never know where you're at. Just know you're on a stage. Right? Just know you're on a stage. And I'd like us to respond to the Lord. I'd like for us to sing one more worship song. And I'd like you to just do a little bit of business with him. That's kind of our rhythm of life here at the church. That wild, hectic, and crazy things are going on, and the traffic's going to meet us out there, and all the challenges of life are going to meet us out there, that we can still our hearts before him. We can say, God, this is my posture before you. I'm a worshiper. I am thankful. I am expectant in what you're going to do in my life. And that with that posture, we're in proximity to him. That we take time, that we settle our hearts before him. We say, God, we want to live as people in peace. And maybe it's for you today that you are needing that miracle. You are in that season. You need that miracle to come through. Can I just encourage you today? Continue to pray. Continue to press through. Surround yourself with positive people. Know that Jesus is on the clock. That he's doing the work that he's always done. Let's go ahead and worship him. And then I'll come up and close us in prayer. Maybe you're here today, and the word that you need to receive is just simply that there's peace to sustain you in this world. I pray that you'd receive that. And I can't promise you when your miracle is coming. Can't promise you how your miracle will be delivered. But what I can promise you is the only miracles that get answered are the ones that are prayed for. That we have that ability to pray and believe God for the very best in our lives. And Father, as we get ready to close the service here, Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that the greatest miracle on earth is that we could have relationship with you. That you can speak to spiritual death and bring life. And maybe you're here today, you're saying, Pastor Chad, I want this peace that you're talking about. And today I would like to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'd like to receive the gift of new life. If that's you here today, would you just raise your hand? And by doing so, I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to make you feel awkward, but I just want to acknowledge what God's doing in your life, and I want to affirm that work that God is doing. Is there anybody here today that would make that decision? Well, Father, we do thank you for this one, Lord, that has said yes to Jesus today. Father, we thank you that we can live our lives in hopeful expectancy into eternity, Lord, that you are the one who provides peace, and that as we make it our lives about growing deep into you, building our lives on you, celebrating you, singing to you, Lord, that you provide the thankfulness in our hearts that overflows, that you provide the gratitude that we need to exhibit, and that, Lord, you provide the patience and the peace that will sustain us in a world with all kinds of challenges. So, Lord, we thank you that you are the miracle maker, and that as we pursue you and not the result of what you do, Father, we find new life, we find power, and Lord, we pray that activate faith and belief and trust in you. Father, as we wait on our miracles, help us to be a people who do not fear, who only believe, who surround ourselves with positive people, who kick out the negative people in our lives, who speak life, and that feed the dreams and the miracles that you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.